if the Seattle management isn't giving you their time of day, what makes you think that Jerry Jones is going to listen to you?
Both times they're blowing teams out by 10. Come on now. When they're on, they're on.
Again, I'm going to need you to write LeBron a letter, send it to him, and say, Bron, I'm sorry, but I'm going to have to hop off your bandwagon. Don't do that.
Welcome to Still the Pot Sports, presented by Clover Chris Media Group, a CMG podcast, or streaming out on StreamYard. I am your host, JJ Vargas, alongside my brothers Riley Barrett and Sanders Sanchez. How you guys doing?
Chill, you?
What up, guys?
I'm feeling good, man. I love every day of sports. We get a new topic. It never gets boring, but we're going to start off with Tampa Bay because a mercenary is back in business. The defending champs bought back Ndamukong Suh on a one-year, $9 million deal, which essentially brings back the crew, guys. You know, they basically got the same team that's going to try to run it back and try to repeat for the first time since your beloved Patriots, probably back in 2003-04. So I'm going to start off with you. Do you trust Tampa Bay and Tom Brady to make a run at the Super Bowl again?
I do. I'm not going to say that it's like a definite, but I do believe in them. Obviously, you have Tom Brady, who's still playing at an elite level. Like you said, they brought everybody back. You got Chris Godwin back. You got Gronk. You got Evans on defense. You got Shaq and Sue, who obviously helped hold this whole thing together. I'm not under the impression that everyone is saying, oh, well, this is Tom Brady's like cliff here. Like, I guess that's kind of the only question mark, so to speak, that everyone's worried about is when is Tom Brady going to fall off? Even if he falls off, as long as Tom Brady is like top 10 quarterback with that team, they're definitely going to be a threat. Now, the one piece that people aren't really talking about, I guess just because he's a defensive coordinator, but Todd Bowles, he's actually – they expect him to come back. Todd Bowles probably coached his best game in terms of calling defense in that Super Bowl. It was absolutely phenomenal what he did. I definitely give him high marks for it. Him coming back and not only keeping that same defense, he knows the personnel. He knows the guys. He knows who's good at what. He knows where to put who where. And that's just something that's not really talked about in terms of when you have a good defensive coordinator, a guy who knows who he has. He knows what he's got. He knows, okay, I only want to rush three guys. I could put one, two, and three, whoever they are. I could put these three here. And if I'm running, if I'm blitzing and I need my best cover safety, I know who that is. He knows all these guys. He knows their weaknesses, and he's not going to put them in a position where they're going to fail.
Basically, so. Pride, he's saying, if I got potatoes, corn, and peas, I could make a shepherd's pie, not lasagna.
Exactly. Like, yeah, straight up, exactly. That's, like, the best way to put it. Like, he knows what he has. He'll give you what you need. So do I think they can? I definitely do think they can. But, like I said, it's not going to be easy. Obviously, I have them winning the division. But – I don't think the Packers are going to be playing any games this year. I know the Saints obviously are going to fall off, but let's say they get to the Super Bowl. I mean, even if it's not the Chiefs and it's the Bills, that's still going to be a very difficult game. So I'm not going to say that they have it in the bag and that it's like no debate. But if you ask me for betting odds, I think Tampa Bay should beat like top two.
Jeez, yeah, you hit it right on the spot, Pride. I agree completely with you 100%. And to add on to your points, Pride, there's one move that's still lurking that they can make to make it a for sure bet that they're in there, and that's bringing back Leonard Fournette. They bring back Leonard Fournette, they solidify that 1-2 punch game along with that defense, which just keeps on bringing back all the guys. You know, I think all they have left is Winfield the third. I think Winfield Jr., Winfield the third. I apologize for ruining his last name, but I know he's still out there too. He hasn't been signed, but you know, they pretty got 99% of their defense back, right? I don't see this team taking a step back a bit, not with Brady under the helm, not with that type of mentality, that TB12 mentality. It's kind of, you know, guys, I've been recently watching The Last Dance, and I was analyzing Michael Jordan's mentality and how his championship mentality meant so much to him that the guys coming into the Bulls that didn't win any championship, but just because they were a part of the Bulls, like, hey, you know, we he's like, no. I busted my ass to get here. You gotta play to the level that I play. You gotta play to the standards that I held myself to. And that's the type of guy Brady is. So I don't care if it's literally coming off a Super Bowl. this guy Brady, he's gonna have his team ready, ready to go next season. And it may not be 100% sure, because I think they just need to make that one move. They bring Leonard Fournette, and you could book them in the Super Bowl for sure. But you know, they're good regardless. With Brady as a quarterback, I have no worries. The only thing is, barring injury. At his age, you know, an injury at his age, you never know. It could be catastrophic. But I'm not worried about that, because I know his team is going to defend him, that they're getting their line back 100% healthy. See, you look at this team. You Evans, Godwin came back, Cameron Brate. I'm not going to forget, like Pride said, I'm not going to forget O.J. Howard this time. You got O.J. Howard coming back fully healthy. You got Rojo. If you bring back Leonard Fournette, and, you know, not so much AB, I love you, man. If you want to come back for a minimum, thank you, and get this ring. But I think they got to prioritize and bring in Leonard Fournette, because the play action really helps Brady. So having a guy like Leonard Fournette and Rojo, that 1-2 punch would just – it just makes Brady invincible. And, you know, they're a great coach. Arians, like you said, Todd Bowles is one of the best defensive minds in the NFL today. When he was coaching for the Jets, they weren't successful in wins, but they knew that that defense, no slouch with Jamal Adams and, you know, those boys in the linebacker core, they weren't no slouch, even though they didn't generate too many wins. So, you know, I do trust Tampa Bay to bring it back. The only thing that would solidify their ticket for sure is them bringing back Leonard Fournette.
Yeah, I agree, you know, and one of the hardest challenges as a Super Bowl champion is to bring back the team as possible as you can, because a lot of guys, either their contracts are up, or because you're playing on the biggest stage and usually you pop out, guys are like, I need that guy, you know what I mean? So it's easy for a team after a Super Bowl to come apart, and this team has really come together, and it makes you feel like maybe there's a big sense of brotherhood and unity when it comes to this Tampa Bay team, and a lot of that, I got to give a lot of credit to Tom Brady for establishing that culture, because I think he's the guy that really made it happen. And it showed by the fact that he was willing to take an extension going into this 2022 season, giving them more cap space for them to be able to sign guys like Ndamukong Suh and bring back the guys and the pieces that they've been able to so far. So to answer the question, do I trust them to make the Super Bowl? I got them coming out the NFC because, like I've said before, you got Tom Brady in year two now in the system. And every quarterback in their second year is just better. And I'm not going to sit here and say that Tom Brady is going to be the sole purpose that they make it. But as long as he's giving you a top 10 quarterback production with all those weapons that he has available to him, and that defense, like you said, probably behind Todd Bowles' expertise making it happen, it's going to be very dangerous to take this team out. Who's competing for them in the division? The Saints? I don't trust Taysom Hill with my life. You know, do I think the Falcons are going to make a little noise? Maybe. How about the Panthers? Them too. You know what I mean? So the division is up for grabs. It's all about who they're going to match up with in the playoffs. I think the Rams might be an interesting team coming out the NFC this year. I feel like they're going to be good. I think San Francisco, if they could get it together and stay healthy. We saw them a couple years ago make it to the Super Bowl. They have an astounding defense. I mean, DeForest Buckner is now a Colt, and he was a big part, but they still got Nicky Bosa. They still got Armstead, so they definitely still got talent. The middle linebacker, Fred Wagner, is that his name?
Warner.
Thank Warner. You. He's a stud. He might easily be a top three middle linebacker in the game at the moment. You know what I mean? So I do think that the NFC does have some competition still, and it's not going to be an easy road back to the Super Bowl. But would I bet against this Buccaneers team, Pride? No, I would not.
Yeah, no, definitely not. And like you said, the last team that did it was my beloved Patriots. And who was the quarterback? Thomas, Edward, Patrick, Brady, Jr. I'm not betting against this man. I don't care what nobody says.
Say one more time.
Thomas, Edward, Patrick, Brady, Jr. Don't forget he's a junior. But, yeah, I mean, I feel like this all comes down to just the fact that everyone knows their role. And they do they know their role. Like, for instance, Mike Evans, back when he had Jameis, if he's not getting at least 6 touches, for like 80-something yards, you used to see him on the sidelines. He was making a whole bunch of noise, getting mad. If you guys saw AB was a problem, the only reason people wasn't talking about Mike Evans was just simply because Tampa Bay, nobody really spoke about them like that.
Yeah.
So now that you got a guy like Tom, brings them in, makes everybody understand this is your role, This does not mean you're a bad player. This is what you're good at, and we need to emphasize what you're good at. And just that comment you put up there literally hit the nail dead on the – like, it hit the nail perfectly. Todd Bowles is a horrible head coach, but a phenomenal defensive coordinator. And there's no debate there. If you think that he's a horrible defensive coordinator, let me borrow your eyes. I need your eyes because you don't deserve them because you're obviously not watching. You're not watching correctly. It's crazy. So, like, do I trust them? Definitely. But it's not going to be a cakewalk. You know, like, we all three understand that, yeah, they do have the division. But you just named the Niners and you just named the Rams. The Rams are expected to not just make noise. They're expected to be screaming little down the hallway, and people are thinking that they're the real deal just because they swapped out Jared Goff for Matthew Stafford. So there is definitely going to be some competition. But I'm picking the Bucks as my favorite.
I mean, and before I let you talk, Sander, another addition that the Rams made, it's DeSean Jackson. You know what I mean? He's definitely a burner, and even at his advanced age, he could get behind guys. And I'm not going to sit here and say that he's a world beater, and he's definitely a difference maker, but he's definitely a guy, Sander, that you definitely got to keep your eyes on the defense.
For sure. DeSean Jackson is a speedster, and with an offense like that, they still got Robert Woods. They still got Cooper Kupp, you know, and that line is still, you know, it's pretty good. It's not that bad of a line. Cam Akers, you know, helping Matt Stafford a lot. Let's just say Matthew Stafford is for sure an upgrade from Jared Goff, for sure.
Absolutely, yeah.
For sure an upgrade.
So, and yeah, it's definitely with Sean McVay too, Sander. I think that's definitely going to work.
Absolutely. I believe it's going to work. Go ahead, Craig.
Yeah, just to touch on real quick, that's honestly the bigger point in that whole trade was the fact that, like, you're getting arguably – well, not even arguably. Sean McVay is the best coach that Matthew Stafford has ever played with. Like, there's just no debate. Like, you know what I mean? And Sean McVay, the best quarterback he had – right as of right now, is Matthew Stafford. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, Jared Goff looked great for that 1 year, and I'm still a Goff fan. I'm not saying he's just yet. But definitely just the fact that, like, they're the best that's worked with each other, and that's definitely going to be a huge key. Like I said, I do see the Rams making some noise, but they ain't got nothing on Thomas Edward Patrick Brady Jr.
It's like I said, and there's really no competition. If this team comes back, well, if this team is coming back, they already signed almost everybody. If they add a few more acquisitions, maybe back, keep on being the same horn. If they bring back Leonard Fournette, there's nobody stopping them. Nobody. They probably go 16-0.
I don't know about 16-0, but I don't know about that. Again, I'm going to go back to Price fault. Last time there was a 16-0 season, who was the quarterback? Thomas, Patrick, Edward, Brady, Jr.
And yes, I mean, sir.
So anything is possible. So I definitely agree, Sander. Maybe it's a possibility. But I do want to say this. You know, like I said earlier, Tom Brady really established a culture there and made these guys believe, if you do this, this will be the result. And just to the fact that he actually did that in year one, he took the 7-9 team and took them to if they would have lost the Super Bowl, just the fact that he got them to that stage would have been amazing in itself. But they actually won it in a team that's never even celebrated that victory. I mean, they did make it back in 2002 when they won, when they had Rondé Barber. You know, they were a good team under John Gruden, I believe, was the coach
Derek Brooks at the time.
You know, so it was a long time since that team actually celebrated. I mean, what was their nickname before? The Succoneers?
Yes, sir.
Tom Brady went there and really changed it up. And now those guys know that in their hearts going into the season, guys, we did what we were supposed to last year, the way that we were taught to do it. We can repeat this again. So if we just stick to the script, you could lose a game in the November, December, January, but as long as you play your cards right come late January, early February, we can be hosting the Lombardi Trophy once again. And that's something that is scary. When these players have that belief in them, that's a very scary attribute that a player can have, Pride.
Yeah, definitely. And like you said, like you touched on a great point. Coming into this first season, they were just – the only belief and confidence they had was just Tom Brady's word. That's it. Now that they've actually won, yeah, it's great to hear Tom say it. But now in my mind, if I'm Mike Evans, if I'm Chris Godwin, if I'm Shaq Barrett, in my mind, I'm like, not only do I believe him, but now I'm like 100 times more confident because we did it. There's something actually done, you know? So That definitely right there. That's
just one more point. God, if I recall right, I think Mike Evans had what, 2-3 catches in that Super Bowl?
He didn't care.
Because at the end of the day, Sander, he was an NFL champion.
They won. But one more thing. Look how quick that FC South is looking now like the AFC East when Brady was playing there. Where there was Brady and then who else? So now look, the NFC South, the Brady, and who you got? Who you got? Matty Ice? Who you got? Taysom Hill. Taysom.
I thought you liked Matty Ice.
I mean, but compare Brady, baby. What you look? What we comparing here, baby? What we comparing?
That is
here?
True. All I know is Tom Brady made Drew Brees retire. I'm leaving it at that. That's the story I'm sticking to.
Yeah.
So yeah.
You know, nonetheless, it's remarkable what Tampa Bay was able to do last year in their first year together to become NFL champions. And with the squad coming back fully loaded, maybe they can repeat again. Maybe they won't, but that's something we'll have to wait till the season starts. But I want to transition to the NBA guys because the trade deadline is coming up, I believe, tomorrow. So we might see some new faces and some new places, and I'm very excited for it. Among Aaron Gordon, DeMar DeRozan, and Lonzo Ball, there's a lot of stars that me moving, wearing a new jersey pretty soon. So I'll start off with you, Sander. Which player is the most intriguing right now on the block?
Well, to answer the question, there's a ton of players. All of them are almost interesting. But there's a few that really got my eye that it's like has me wondering, damn, if they go to a certain spot, they shift the competitiveness of the league. And these players are Andre Drummond for sure. Andre Drummond lately has been having trouble staying healthy, but this season that hasn't been the question. He's been healthy. The only reason why he hasn't been playing is because Cleveland doesn't want to risk getting hurt. So they're holding him, you know, kind of holding him hostage, saying, you know, just sit down until, you know, we get a suitor for you. But Andre Drummond, man, talking about a guy that on his best night can give you 20 rebounds, 20 points, and still give you something defensively because he's not no punk in the post. He's a big body boy, and he knows, and he has an offensive game. I've seen DeAndre Drummond in Detroit, and the dude can play. The dude has a lot of offensive skills. It's just he's been playing on bad teams. So Andre Drummond is a guy where if he lands on where the talks are, the Lakers, the Clippers, some were saying the Brooklyn Nets, but the Brooklyn Nets have fallen out of those sweepstakes the last few weeks that those talks have died out. But if Andre Drummond just so happens to fall in the Lakers, okay, you telling me LeBron, AD, Andre Drummond, and the rest of the crew just won't dominate? That front court would be legendary. That front court would probably go down as one of the best of all time with Andre Drummond, AD, and LeBron. Hands down. So that's one. Consider for sure. But for sure. But on paper, you look at it, you're like, who's going to get any post play? Nobody. Andre Drummond is definitely a move that, you know, he can go to like the Lakers or the Clippers. Another guy that I was looking at is Victor Oladipo. Victor Oladipo is currently Houston Rockets, and they coming off a win. I think they snapped their 20-plus game losing streak, you know. And, you know, I feel like Victor Oladipo is a serviceable player in the NBA still today, where his ceiling is a really good third option. You put Victor Oladipo on a team where he's your third best player, you have a really good team. And the guy can go off. The guy can go off on his best night, give you 30, 35, but he's going to average you around 20, 25 points a game. He's not a guy that's going to lose the game for you. He's not a turnover machine. When he's healthy, he's a really good serviceable player. I feel like a contender could definitely use him. But he's the type of guy that he wants to be the guy. So, you know, maybe Hornets with losing LaMelo Ball for the rest of the year can look at that as an option, you know, because the Hornets are still competitive in the East. And, you know, you add Victor Oladipo with Gordon Hayward, you know, those Malik Monk, those boys over there in Charlotte, you know, they can do something with Victor Oladipo. So those two players, out of all of them, mostly got my eye. Obviously, I'm a Heat fan, so there's talk about Kyle Lowry joining the Heat. You know, that'd be great for, you know, for the Miami Heat, have good guard play. I always scream, guard play dominates the league. If you have great guard play, you're really far in the league. So yeah, those two players for sure out of all of them are intriguing. You know, Lonzo Ball, but the two that got my is Victor Oladipo. What about you, Brian?
Yeah, no, I got a few names. The first name I'm gonna throw out, Aaron Gordon. He's averaging about 14 points, 6 rebounds, 4 assists. He's a solid stretch forward that will give you good defense. There were talks that supposedly he wanted out, but now he doesn't know. So it's kind of right now in like the Orlando Magic's court. They don't know what they're going to do. Obviously, my Celtics really want him real bad. However, we were talking about this earlier. They want to give up 2 first-round picks. I love him to death, but I'm not at all interested in it. If one, maybe, but two, no, that's absurd. I heard the Warriors also were interested, and so were the Nuggets, which I understand. A sleeper team that I definitely would consider for him is the Miami Heat. Because if you, in essence, if you bring him there to stretch that floor out, I don't know. I feel like it's going to open up a lot more buckets for Tyler Hero and Jimmy Bucket. So that's for Aaron Gordon, that's what I would do. Kyle Lowry, obviously Philly, and the Heat are in the mix. The Lakers also just recently expressed some interest in Kyle Lowry. He's giving you 17 points, 7 assists, 5 rebounds. Definitely, he's a solid. At this point, he's like an established vet in the league. For him, I personally would – the dark horse team for him would be the Knicks, because the Knicks want to make a playoff push. They have a lot of young guys that they're depending on. Now, if you put Kyle Lowry in there, not only can he give you some good contributions on the court, but also off the court, because he can help mentor these guys and he can help train them and build up their IQ. So that's definitely a dark horse place I would look for him. Obviously, you said Victor Oladipo, 20 points, 5 rebounds, 5 assists. He's a dependable two-way guard. Me personally, I want to see him in Dallas. Because if you pair him with Luka, you give Luka now that kind of – it takes some pressure off him. Because the thing with Dallas, I love Luka. But having to rely on Luka magic almost every night, it's eventually going to get to a point where it's like, I'm doing all this, what, to get bounced in the first round? You don't want him to start feeling like that. So now you want to pair him up with an Oladipo who not only will play defense, not only can get you about 20 a night, but at the same time, let's say Luka needs rest. But you don't want to take him off the game. Now you can put him in the corner and you can have 2 or 3 plays ran through Oladipo. Or heck, even if you want to take Luke out, you still have Victor Oladipo in there. So you can now build the offense and have it flow through him. So that's definitely, personally, if I had to bet money, I'd say Dallas should definitely be on the phone. And another guy who's kind of getting talked about, but not really, arguably the most improved player of the year, Jeremy Grant over in Detroit. I mean, he's giving you 23 points, 5 rebounds, 3 assists, and he's another stretch forward that can get you buckets this year. Now, I'm not going to say he's going to be a second option, but what he should be is probably a third. Like, if the two teams who should be fighting for him, and I'm talking about straight up fight, like, we're going to the alley, we knuckling up, and only one of us is walking out here conscious, is the Lakers and Clippers. Especially the Lakers right now, especially with the fact that Bron's down, they definitely need to fill up that roster so they're at least not in the play-in. Because if they're in the play-in, I don't care. It's going to be very, very difficult, because one mistake and it could ruin your entire season. That's not like the playoffs. And same thing with the Clippers. The Clippers' big three was Paul George, Kawhi Leonard, and Lou Will. I don't know what's been good with him, but Lemon Pepper Lou, he must be still be in Atlanta. He must still be in that club. Like, I don't know. He has not come back to LA.
Yeah, Magic City, baby.
Yeah, bro. See, he need magic to fix what was wrong with his game right now, bro. This dude has been crazy. One minute he'll give you bro, talk about, I used to complain about Kyle Kuzma. Man, I gotta open my eyes, bro, because Lou Will is just like Kyle Kuzma, bro. You'll get 20 points one game, and then you get 20 points for the rest of the month. And it's like, hey, yo, what is going on, bro? Like, it's crazy. So if you get a guy like Jeremy Grant, fit him in that rotation, hopefully that'll take a little bit of, you know, the whole Magic City stuff off of Lou. So right. Go ahead.
You know what would be a beautiful landing spot for Jeremy Grant to just build a core even more? Phoenix.
No,
Devin Booker, Andre Ayton, and Jeremy Grant.
No, only not right now. Only because they're. I think they're gonna keep Chris Paul for like another few, like for another 2 years after this. And if you put Jeremy Grant in there, it's almost like they're gonna start running more point guard for Devin Booker, which is which defeats the purpose because they wanted Chris Paul to alleviate some of that from Booker. So,
yeah.
I mean, if Chris Paul wasn't there, that would honestly be lit because then you have Devin Booker as a primary point guard. But just the fact that they don't want him the ball in his hands too much, they're already kind of, I don't want to say they're struggling trying to stagger the minutes because they do have a solid team. I do like their team, you know? Yeah. So I'm not going to say they're going to struggle like staggering the minutes, but on top of that, Jeremy Grant, he's probably not really going to want to go to a place where he's going to be the fourth option, you know? Like in Detroit right now, he's like the second option. At times, or maybe sometimes he's a first.
I think he's the number one. He's the number one option.
See, that's what I'm saying. So I'm talking about if someone else gets hot, he kind of just like falls back or whatever.
What about him in New York?
I wouldn't mind that. I wouldn't mind him in New York. Because he'll still get the touches that he would want. Mm-hmm. I don't think New York would want to do that only because what they want, based on what I've been reading, they want a vet to, in essence, patrol the locker room. They want a guy who's got years on the clock. So when he goes to quickly and he goes, yo, Emmanuel, you're messing up, he ain't going to talk back. When he goes to Julius Randle and say, hey, yo, call me. Because remember, a few weeks ago, Julius Randle almost blew his top off when they were playing the Nets. Ooh, and he thought it was popped and all that stuff. He lost it. They want a vet who can come up to him and grab him and pull him in and say, hey, yo, take some deep breaths. Relax. Let's simmer down. Let's bring it back in. So that's what the Knicks are looking for. So, but those are my guys. I'm obviously excluding Alonzo and Andre Drummond, which obviously Andre is going to be one of the LA team.
Andre can help any contender. Any contender win a championship automatically.
Yeah, and honestly, same thing with Alonzo. And you guys know I've never been an Alonzo fan. Starting to grow on me. He's like that annoying little brother. He's kind of like what Kobe did to MJ. You got so annoying, I just decided to give you attention. That's how he's come growing on me, bro. And I'm honestly liking him a lot. I think right now, obviously, the contenders to get him is the Clippers, which I think would be phenomenal because the Clippers, they not only do they need a solid big man, but they need a legitimate, pure point guard. Patrick Beverly ain't gonna do it. He is not it. Like send him back to Greece. I don't care about him. Like, they need a legitimate point guard, and that's what Lonzo will give him, JJ.
Yeah, no, I agree. Lonzo Ball is definitely a hot name out there right now. Like I said, there's a lot of smoke around him, so there must be teams calling him about that fire. You know, it's definitely been nice to see him and his development grow because this is not the player that we saw the last couple of years. He's definitely taken a big step forward. And when it comes to Lonzo, I don't understand why New Orleans would want to get rid of him because I feel like he's really good there. Like, we're talking about throwing alley-oops to Zion. You know what I mean? The guy who just flies out the building. And for him to be, what, the third, maybe fourth scoring option behind Zion and Brandon Ingram, I just think that he has a really good role there. So I do think that the Pelicans will be making a mistake to get rid of Lonzo. But the one thing is, when it comes to him, you're going to have to commit to him if you keep him because he's going to be an unrestricted free agent come the offseason. So it's all about, are you going to sign him at the end of the year? I see guys like DeMar DeRozan out there too, you know, a guy that has that veteranship. I think a guy like him will be really good in New York, Sander. You talk about a guy that's a veteran that, you know, has had some championship. I mean, he wasn't in that team, that Toronto team, but he was there along that run that kept getting blocked by LeBron. So he knows what it is to be part of a good team that just gets blocked. So I do think that he could bring at least that leadership to the Knicks. Kyle Lowry to the Knicks, another guy. He actually has a championship pedigree that team could use. And I think both those guys that I just named will be a guy that the Lakers should definitely look at because no LeBron, no AD. I love Schroeder, but he's just not that starting quality guy. You know, there's a reason why he was a runner-up for the Sixth Man of the Year. You know, he's always been a really good player, and I like him a lot, but he's not that guy, you know, unfortunately. And I'm not throwing shade at him. Like I said, I think he's a really good player. But they just need another guy that can actually score the ball because you've been Kuzma's biggest critic, Pride, and with good reason. 20 points today, 20 points the rest of the month, and that just ain't it. When you got a team led by LeBron James that is really championship or bust, and that's it. And especially in the city of L.A., where it's the Lakers, where it really is championship or bust, you need a guy that can really bring that star power. And, I mean, this is far-reaching. I mean, I don't even think he's in the trade block, but if the Lakers were to somehow get Bradley Beal, somehow convince him to leave that crappy situation in Washington and bring him over. Oh man, that'd be something special. You know, a name that we mentioned before the show, LaMarcus Aldridge, he's going to be out there. You know, they're asking for a king's ransom for him, but I do think that his peak years are probably behind him. But when you do get a good LaMarcus Aldridge, he's definitely a player that you definitely want in your team that could be down on the block. He's developed his game to be a stretch four. He can hit that outside shot now.
For sure.
So, you know, it's definitely an exciting time to trade deadline right now because there's really a lot of players, and I don't feel like it's really been like this in the last few years because you really don't know where some of these players might end up, right?
Yeah, definitely. I just want to say one thing. So the Clippers, ironically, they just try to offer something for Kyle. Supposedly, since they don't have any picks, it's going to be centered around Patrick Beverley, Zubac, and Lou Will. And I'm assuming they want Kyle, and I'm assuming they may want Pascal Siakam just to try to get a little bit of that size, maybe. If this is true and this thing goes through, the Clippers are definitely going to – oof, that would be scary. But yeah, man, just to touch on DeMar DeRozan real quick, I kind of feel bad for him, sort of, kind of. But not really. Never been a fan of him. I've never been a fan of him. Never. So I kid you not. If you put him back in Toronto and they're up 3-1 on LeBron, I'm not sweating at all. 3-0 on LeBron. They're up 4-0 on LeBron. I'm still not sweating. That's how little faith I have in that dude. But you do make a point. He does have some of that veteran leadership that some guys do want. And there is something, a part of his game that a lot of people don't really utilize, and it's that mid-range jump shot. If you put him on a team, for instance, if you had put him in Golden State, let them shoot all the threes you want. Do you know how open everything is going to be from? I kid you not. You put him in there, homeboy's averaging like 30. and straight mid-range jump shots, bro. But so definitely another guy who I kind of sort of feel bad for. Not only do I kind of feel bad for Andre Drummond, LaMarcus Aldridge, because he's kind of sort of in the same situation. Only difference is they're willing to try to ship him out. They're definitely going to be willing. Yeah. It's just, where's he going to go? Because at this point, it's going to be cheap. Like, the Spurs really don't really care for players. They're more along the lines of draft picks. So now that takes, like, for instance, like the Clippers, that's going to take them out because they don't have picks for like years because they lost a lot of them getting Paul George and all that. So there's a lot of, like, they lost picks getting Paul George, Morris, Reggie Jackson. They lost a lot of picks. So that's going to take them completely out of anything. And it's a shame because they desperately could have used a LaMarcus Aldridge. And it's a shame they're not really – they have absolutely no chance of getting him at all. Another name who's going to be very interesting, Montrezl Harrell. Because supposedly they were thinking about trading him over to the Hornets. And I was like, I kind of get it. But at the same time, I feel like that's kind of like a overly dramatic panic button. I'm not going to hit that panic button just yet. Because Montrezl is still giving you like, – he's coming off the bench. He's probably going to have to start starting now. But coming off the bench, he's giving you like 14. You know what I mean? So I'm like, why are you going to get rid of a dude who's actually contributing in a good way? Why punish him for stepping up when you need him? You need him to. One guy who needs to get out of here is Kyle Kuzma. I don't care. Get him out of
here. His pink suit wearing ass.
Get him out of here. Send him to the Clippers. I don't care. Send him to the Clippers for free. For half a bag of stale peanuts and an open jar of mustard pickles. I don't care. Kyle Kuzma got to go. Because now it's a shame because now he's probably going to have to be the number one.
But, yeah.
He's more of a number three.
And that just ain't it, guys. But we definitely will keep a close eye on the trade deadline because I'm sure we're excited to see where players might end up. So we'll see. But I'm going to transition from professional hoops to college hoops because, you know, we're right in the heart middle almost of the NCAA tournament. And Gonzaga, they just looking like they're just going to pass through everybody. And maybe it's lucky because, you know, we got no Duke in the tournament. There's no Kentucky. So maybe it's making life a little easier for them.
Yeah, but right now, the top seeds are falling too. Yeah. So
Illinois got bounced early. So it's looking like it might be like right to the championship standards. But, you know, what do you think? Do you think it's them against the field? Or do you think one of these teams has a chance to actually swoop underneath and win the championship?
If I'm going to be completely honest, this NCAA tournament is the biggest toss-up there's ever been because for the fact that almost all what they call blue bloods, what they call the big schools, they all fell before the Sweet 16. Gonzaga and a few other schools, they got a handful of schools that fill big name schools that are left in this tournament. The rest of them are a bunch of teams that are just clawing and fighting and, you know, just fighting for recognition. Like, you ain't even know who Oral Roberts was until you heard Oral Roberts on the TV. So, you know, this tournament is a toss-up. It's definitely not Gonzaga versus the field. It's definitely a toss-up. It's definitely a toss-up. If you look at Gonzaga has been great all season. I'm not going to knock nothing that they've done. They finished undefeated. They beat every team that was in front of them. I get that. But if you look at their schedule, they had, out of all the ranked schools, out of the 1 to 25, they had one of the weakest schedules all season, to the point where they only played four top 10 teams. Two of them were in the top five. So they didn't really play that much competition until later in the season. And then once they got in the tournament, the biggest test they played was OU, Oklahoma State. And, you know, they managed to get it done. So I'm not going to sit here and act like, oh, they're a fluke undefeated team, because, you know, it takes skill. It takes determination, hard work to get to where they at. So I'm definitely going to give them the credit. But what I'm going to say is I feel like they haven't been fully tested. They haven't been fully tested yet this season. So I feel as the tournament gets, you know, deep, as we get deeper in the tournament, they're going to play a tougher team. And you never know. Like we've seen Cinderella's upsets all bracket. We've seen upsets from the beginning tip to now. So it's really a toss up. Duke and Kentucky were still in the tournament, and didn't see this anomaly of top teams losing before the Sweet 16. I would say that, you know, Gonzaga, you know, I'd say that it wouldn't be as even. Like, the teams that have no chance, they would have no chance, literally, if the top teams were still available. But, you know, with the top teams gone, it's a toss-up. We got Loyola Chicago. We got Oral Roberts. We got Ohio, not Ohio State, Ohio, the other college, you know, we got all these teams that, you know, really well coached, and, you know, these teams are hungry, man. So I'm not going to pin no team as a for sure bet, because every single team in this tournament is hungry because they didn't get a tournament last season.
So I'm just gonna start by saying this tournament is Gonzaga's to lose. Like, they're just, I hate saying stuff like this, because, you know, especially in the NCAA tournament, because it really is a one and done. So if they, let's say they get a cold streak, it, you know, it's kind of difficult. But it really is their tournament to lose. It sucks to say, but they replace Duke or Kentucky. Like every time Duke or Kentucky's in, everyone's like, okay, why? There's no point watching. We know they're gonna win. That's kind of how Gonzaga has felt this year. I'm not gonna say it's them against the field, because I do have a couple teams who can potentially maybe try to like scrape by with a win. If you have me to pick one, I'm gonna pick Baylor. I mean, they got three dudes scoring double digits. They got Jared Butler, who's giving you almost 17. Teague is giving you 16, and then David Mitchell's giving you about another 14. Then they got another four dudes who are averaging at least one steal a game, which, again, Jared Butler, a little over two. Donovan Mitchell's giving you two. David Mitchell's giving you two. Matthew Mayer's giving you a little over one. And Mark Vito's also giving you about another steal. So these guys kind of hustle. They shoot 49% from the field. And from the three, they shoot 42%. Of all the one-seeded teams left, there's only three left. It's Michigan, it's Gonzaga, and it's Baylor. Now, Michigan, I'm not going to poo-poo on them, but in terms of, like, if we got to pick somebody to stop Gonzaga, I'm not going Michigan. I don't know. I just personally, their play style, it just won't match up well at all with what Gonzaga does. Baylor is a team that they're well coached, they can run plays, and they can also win it, which is something that when you come deeper into the tournament, there's going to be times where your system is going to get clogged up. And no matter what you do, you can't buy a bucket. So now it's going to come down to, okay, no plays, no system, no nothing, go get a bucket. And I feel like of all the teams left, I feel like Baylor has the best possibility to match up in that type of style, where if, Like I said, you got four guys hitting you double digits. So that tells you that, okay, if I'm cold, I know for a fact at least two other dudes can pick up my slack. Exactly. You got two other dudes who can pick up your slack. So, again, I say Baylor has the best chance. But, again, this is really Gonzaga's tournament to lose. You know what I mean? Like, if Gonzaga plays true to themselves, I'm not going to say they're going to steamroll. But they're going to be able to go through the tournament and win it all. But if I had to pick somebody who definitely could upset them, I would have to say Baylor.
Yeah, and, you know, to answer the question, I am picking Gonzaga because I think you put it beautifully. It's their tournament to lose, you know, and I think that what Gonzaga really put themselves in a position to do is obviously is to win the national title. But in a bigger picture, I think that if they do solidify that and win the championship, they could put themselves in the competition where they're competing for those top recruits against Duke, against Kentucky, because, you know, for many years, Gonzaga has been a program that's always been respected and has always had a good team, but just never got over that hump, you know, because you got those big powerhouses who just happen to always recruit the Zions, the ADs, the Kyrie Irvins, you know, all these really good players that just land because of the brand. And who could blame them? You know, Duke and Kentucky, these are powerhouse teams. Everybody knows them. I mean, you still got North Carolina out there that usually gets good players. But Gonzaga has really put themselves in a unique position where moving forward, they could be the desired team to where people want to go. Because, like I said, what's the biggest prestige that a team could do for themselves? It's win a title. So, you know, I think that, you know, in the bigger picture, I think that's what they could do. I don't see no team being this team. They got some guys that really go out there and go get buckets. I think they're their best coach team remaining right now. And I think that they're going to be a matchup nightmare, Sander, against anybody who plays them.
Yeah, I agree. The only thing is, I think they would match up first against Michigan. If they both advance, the first matchup they would play against each other, the first one would be Michigan. Like I said, AJ, you guys say that, you know, it's theirs to lose, but I feel like they need to be tested first. I don't think Oklahoma was a great test for them because that was the first test in the tournament, a highly ranked team that they played. But if you look at that game, they didn't start off well. They actually ended up finishing the game on fire. You know, if you get into a cold start against these bigger colleges, you know, the tougher teams, I think it's tough to come by. You can't go down 15 points to a team like, let's say, like Michigan, the one ranked team. You can't go down 15 points against them because
I can just cut in real fast, and I think you guys would probably both agree with me on this point. In the tournament, Gonzaga is the only remaining team that I feel has pressure on themselves. Like you said, there's been a lot of teams that have been upset, and now they're playing with house money, and they're putting themselves in a position where they're at where, you know, obviously you want to win it, but Gonzaga from the start has been the favorite, and the fact that they're one of the few remaining top seeds that are still there. I mean, Baylor has some pressure on them too, but Gonzaga by far was favorite to win the tournament, and as the rounds pass by, Sander, the pressure just keeps mounting.
Yeah, for sure. And I feel like, you know, they're a tough team. They're definitely going to, you know, they'll probably be in Final Four for sure. It's all about, like you said, JJ, they've never been able to get through that hump. So let's see, you know, with all this pressure, undefeated, maybe being the first team since how long? I don't think I've ever seen in my lifetime an undefeated college team win the championship. So, you know, there's definitely pressure. So, and if there's the team to do it, it's probably the best coach team, like you said, is Gonzaga. But there's tough teams, man. There's tough teams. I feel like it's a toss-up. I feel like I can't look at Gonzaga, even though they're undefeated, and look at all the other teams and be like, they can beat all of them. Because I don't think they can beat every team in the bracket right now.
I mean, we're acting like Gonzaga is just like this team that just showed up out of nowhere. Like in the past 4 years, they were a top ranked team. So I don't know. You can't sit there and say, oh yeah, this is obviously from top to bottom. If you get the entire roster, who's got the best roster and right now in the bracket? Gonzaga. Who's got the best coach? Gonzaga. So if you have the best coach, which normally comes with better defensive and offensive plays, and you got the best roster top to bottom. I don't know.
No, you're right.
I think Baylor could beat them.
I mean, Sandra, and I'll leave it up with this. You say you can't say that, but I'm going to say it. Go get them, Zags. Go win this championship. We're Stir the Pot Sports. Make sure you follow us on our Facebook and our Instagram pages at Stir the Pot Sports. We're a Clovercrest Media Group original. I'm your host, JJ Vargas, alongside my brothers, Riley Barrett and Sandra Sanchez. We'll see you next time. Game.